Good evening, one and all, and welcome to Maine's longest-running, most enduring talk radio program, The Maine Outdoors. We welcome you. We're so glad you can be aboard tonight. And, you know, the general firearm season for deer ended on Saturday, half hour after sunset. But you still have a chance if you're a black powder hunter.
Right.
Black powder season starts tomorrow morning. You have, depending on the zone you're in, you either have a week or 2 weeks to pursue that wily whitetail. In fact, we have a trophy hunter who loves the black powder season, Hal Blood, who writes a column for the Northwood Journal, is going to be our guest tonight if we can reach him by phone. We tried to make an advance call before the show, but we'll keep trying. I think we'll be able to hook up
with
him.
You're a black powder man, aren't you, Paul? You have been.
I have been, yeah.
Yeah, but you don't need to now, of course.
No room in my freezer.
Yeah.
Anyway, we will also be talking to Ben Wilcox, who is a columnist for the Northwood Journal, and has an interesting story to tell about shooting a deer and then being challenged for his deer by two bears in Pennsylvania, I think it was. So we'll talk with him. I think you'll find that to be a fascinating tale. Our crew tonight, who make the show possible week after week, the man behind the controls in there in the operations center, we used to call him the Sage of Grand Lake Stream, and he's been transformed into the
Scourge.
The Carrot Man.
Scourge of Grand Lake.
Oh, no, never call him that. Our friend Norm Plord.
Good evening, Paul. And I don't think I'd like to be challenged by a bear if I had shot a deer.
No, I wouldn't think so.
he might win.
Yeah. Well,
if I don't end up shooting it.
Yeah. So. Well, it was a scary moment. He'll share that with us. And, of course, our esteemed co-host, he's a Maine guide, master Maine guide. He's written some fabulous books on fishing. He knows his way around a trout pond. Our friend Bob Lehman.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Nice to have you here tonight. And I notice you have your MAGA hat on.
I certainly do.
You guys never give up. That's good. Anyway.
Never.
And if somebody wants to be on our program tonight, of course, we have a statewide toll-free number. What is that, Bob Lehman?
The number to call is 1-800-966-1039, and you have to dial the whole number, even if you're local. You knew that, didn't you, Paul?
Yes, I did.
1-800-966-1039, that's our call letters, so that should be easy to remember.
Easy to remember. Mm-hmm. And by the way, don't forget, we're now streaming online.
Yeah.
And what that means is, if you have friends anywhere in the world, actually, anywhere, somebody who has access to the internet, you can listen to our show live every Sunday night at 7, even out there in San Francisco.
Istanbul or Guam.
Guam, anywhere. Yeah, so be sure and tell them that. All they have to do is go to www.wvompodcast, right?
I believe that's what it is. WVOM podcast.
Yeah, and just click on listen. That's all you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's see. I want to remind you, too, that the December issue of the Sporting Journal will be on the stand next week. You can tell it by a snow-covered buck on the front cover. And remember, too, if you're looking for a great gift for sportsmen in your family, somebody who loves to hunt and fish, loves the outdoors, Sporting Journal subscription makes a wonderful gift, and it's only $32. If you're interested to do that, you can call Alicia during the week at 732-4880. That's the office number of the Sporting Journal, 732-4880. And let's see, the Outdoor Digest time here, the firearm season wrap-up. I did a check, Bob, of the harvest so far. What's your guess on the deer take?
On the deer take?
Yeah. It's been a pretty...
I would say somewhere between the 20s and... I don't think it'd make it to the 30s, do you?
Well, it's incredible. I just did a... It made my eyes bug out.
No fooling.
The deer take so far, and this does not include the muzzleloader season, which is coming up, 41,727.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that something?
That sounds like the old days.
Yeah, that's incredible.
That is incredible.
That may be a record harvest.
Well, you know, there was a lot of deer allowed to be shot by individuals this year.
Yeah, well, the new buck doe combination, I think. Yeah. Has really added to the take.
I would say. At least a third, I'll bet.
You bet, yeah. 41,727 deer taken. Last year was a good year. Mm. In fact, it was, I guess, one of the highest years in quite a few years. The take was 38,900.
Yeah, that's probably near normal.
So it's already up 3,000, maybe 4,000 before the season's over last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we hope you had a good hunting season.
They had a little tracking snow in there, didn't they? From
yeah, we did. My hunt group, the Skulkers of Sabors, had a we had about 3 to 4 inches of snow up there to track in.
Yes, you did.
And it was I love to track in the snow because it tells you, it's a story. You can read the book by following tracks.
Right.
It's just incredible. Right.
But it gets down the back of your neck sometimes, kind of breaks off boughs and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, but it's worth it if you're...
But it's quiet.
It's quiet, and it's a great way to find a deer. If you can get to the end of those tracks...
Yes, you can follow them.
Yeah, if you can...
Take 8 days.
Yeah, you bet. Anyway, it's a good season all around, as far as I know, and a very safe season. I don't know of any accidents that happened. So we commend all the safe hunters, and we hope you enjoyed it. And whether you had a deer or not, I know you'll be like me. You'll be back there again next year.
The wardens always hope for snow, you know, because that season's over for them if it snows. The deer don't come out in the fields anymore at night.
They don't?
No. Not well.
Are you sure
covered with, if they're covered with snow, you can't very well eat grass, can you?
Well, yeah, you can dig under it. I've seen
Well,
them.
You can you dig, can, yeah. But I mean, if it's, you know, 6-8 inches of snow, it's a little difficult.
Yeah, it could be discouraging, yeah.
Yeah.
A couple of other items before we get to Bob's fishing report. Operation Game Thief is offering some rewards. Let's see, there's a couple of them here. We're going to have Warden Cale O'Leary next week to get into detail on this, but basically Operation Game Thief is offering a reward of $3,000 for anybody who has information leading to the conviction of a poacher who poached a moose up in Rocky Brook Road, Township 13, Range 11. Do you know where that is? It's up in Zone 2 somewhere. Anyway, they found a moose, was reported, discovered a bull moose covered with tree branches. Some poacher poached it and then tried to cover up the evidence. And they are trying to track down that scofflaw. And if you have any information, you can collect a $3,000 reward for that. They also, Bob, had a some dodo took a shot at an eagle up at Mattawamkeag River.
For heaven's sake.
Mattawamkeag.
No fool.
They had found a wounded eagle with BBs in it.
Oh,
and there's a $4,500 reward.
There ought to be.
For anyone who comes forth with info on that particular deal. Isn't that incredible? Now, why would they offer so much more money for an eagle over a moose? I'm not sure.
Probably because of what the eagle stands for.
Because of the what?
What the eagle stands for.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, they're protected bird.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah,
anyway, so
protected.
Next week, Cale O'Leary will be with us. Warden Cale O'Leary from Rooster County will explain to us a little more detail about that particular situation. So, I think with that, let's bring in Bob's music.
I'm a big boss.
Yeah.
And you work for me.
Yeah.
This is my rock.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. what's going on in the
fishing
world?
Well, first off, let me thank you for the venison, sir. I haven't had a taste of venison in a couple of years, and I thank you for thinking about me.
Hope you enjoyed.
I know you got yourself a nice deer.
Nice doe. Filled my doe tag.
You did, and you was guided by your son.
Yep.
And he helped you out with that. No, I'm kidding.
He
fought it a couple, and you guys went and you were lucky to get.
Yeah, we were very fortunate.
You
were
telling me about that today. Anyway, it was very, congratulations, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Yes. So, all right. And so I'm looking forward to eating some of that venison.
I think you'll enjoy it.
Yep.
Do you know how to make tea gravy?
No.
You ever heard of it?
No.
How about you, Norm? Well, you take.
Never heard of it.
Well, you take the venison, and you got to have a cast iron fry pan. Don't use one of those Teflon deals.
No.
Cast iron fry
cast
pan.
Cast iron.
Put a little butter in there, maybe just a dash of olive oil, not too much, and then you bring the heat up medium high.
Yeah.
Put that venison in there and just, you know, braise it on each side, but cook it rare.
Yeah.
All right? Then you take it out, put the heat up underneath the fry pan, add a little hot water in there.
Hot water.
In a tea bag.
Oh?
Stir that around a couple of seconds. Stir it around. Take the tea bag out.
Yep.
Pour that juice over the meat. Oh, it's fantastic.
Kidding.
Oh, you love it.
Wow, never would have thought of it.
pea gravy, they call it.
I was going to say, you'll have some gravy, so.
Oh, it's delicious.
I never heard of that.
Yeah, just try that.
Well, I might do that.
Trust me on this.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to say, too, that, you know, the brook trout and salmon are pretty done, you know, how they get out on their spawning beds this fall, and that pretty well wraps up around the second week of November. I've been down to Grand Lake Stream at one fall when they were in there around, I think it was around 10th, 11th, and there was hundreds and hundreds of them in there. It's amazing, really. But they wrap it up real quick, and by the mid to late November, they're all done. And so, and the trout spawn maybe a couple of weeks or 3 weeks before that, so they're pretty well wrapped up. Right now, they're pretty well exhausted from all of those activities, and they take it pretty easy right now, and they're looking for something to eat and begin to grow again, you know, getting fat. And
well, this is the time of year that you passionate fly fishermen begin to tie flies, right? And look through the catalogs, find some new fly line for next year?
Well, actually, I like to wait till after the holidays.
You wait till after the holidays?
Oh, yeah. Right now is a good time to clean up your fly rods and reels and stuff and oil them up and put some beeswax on the ferrules and so on and so forth, and clean your fly lines up, too. You know, I very seldom clean my fly lines. I've got so many of them, I put a new one on. But, you know, you really should. And, you know, those buggers are expensive.
How many lines do you have?
I don't know. I got everything I needed, you know. You know how many kinds there are?
Yeah, there are a lot.
I mean, you got sinking tips, and you get different weights for that and different lengths.
Yep.
And then you got your weights forward, and then you get the double taper, and then you have your all kinds of different ones after that for weight, you know, all the way down from 3 weight all the way up to 12 weight if you need it. And for, you know, salt water, they go for the big weights and so on. But
something to be said about monofilament.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Then you got straight tips and sinking tips and so on, all this business, you know.
Monofilament, you don't have to do nothing, right?
There's not a whole lot that you have to figure out.
Yeah.
They have lines that are clear lines, you know. I've got a lot of those. I've had pretty good luck with them, just a clear line. Yeah. You put a leader on that, and it looks like the whole line is all leader, but, you know, but it works good. You don't frighten fish when you cast with them, I've found, and it's a good rig. But cleaning the fly line is a hard job. You ever try it? Probably never did.
No, and it's, I just buy some of that stuff, and I put it on a cloth and run
wipe
it through the line.
Yeah, and then you put it on a reel, a very big wooden reel, let it dry out.
Yeah,
and when it gets good and dry, put it back on your reel again.
You can wash it with soap and water, right?
You can. Yep. Absolutely, you can.
Yeah, get
and
that.
It's a good idea, that, too, but I never do.
Get that slime off it from the water.
That's right,
And
it's not too early to start making a list for your Christmas gifts.
And, you know, there are some great books out, by the way. This is a chance to plug something. If you're looking for a gift for a sportsman, especially if they're a fly fisherman or a fisherman or a hunter, go to the Sporting Journal website, and we have a special, there's nothing like this. We have an outdoor book section specifically for you to shop around for outdoor books. Now, if you're looking for a gift for some sportsman, go to the sportingjournal.com website, click on outdoor books. And there's a list of, like, there's over 100 books. Yours are there. Mine are there.
Oh, that's great.
Hal Blood's is there.
Yeah.
All kinds of great books there. Bob Mallor's got a whole listing of books there.
Wow, wonderful.
So check it out. Your chance to thank you for letting me get in that.
Okay, appreciate it. Well, that'll pretty well wrap me up tonight.
Okay, thank you. Great report.
Yep.
And again, our guest tonight, if you joined us late, Ben Wilcox, a columnist for the Journal and a hunter, had an encounter with some bears after he killed a deer. We're going to talk to him, and if we can get a hold of Hal Blood, we're going to have Hal tell you why muzzleloader season is such a popular time in the state of Maine. And right now, I think we're going to go to a trivia question, right, Norm? And Bob, we're going to give away a subscription to the Sporting Journal.
Wow.
Worth $32.95 if you know the answer to Bob Lehman's question.
Okay, then. Here's the question for tonight. There are at least 3 pet names for a black powder long gun. Give us 2 other names for a black powder gun.
Okay, you ponder that at home. You won't find that, I don't think, on Google, although you might. 1-800-966-1039 is the number. We'll be right back.
And welcome back to the Maine Outdoors Show. This is Bob Lehman, and our gracious host has just gone out into the hall. He's trying to make a phone call to one of our guests to make sure he is going to be on the air, and here he is back right this moment. And he's just about now to say hello.
Oh, are we on the air?
We certainly are.
Oh, okay. Okay, we're looking for an answer to the trivia question. Bob Lehman wants you to give him at least two pet names for a black powder gun, right? Right, Bob?
Absolutely.
Okay, we have a caller. Good evening, caller.
Hello?
Hi, good evening. You're in Maine Outdoors.
Hi.
Hi.
Is it, muzzle loader and muzzle gun?
No. Sorry.
No.
This sounds like our friend out there from Carmel.
This Tyler?
No.
No.
No. No.
Okay. Hey, what's your first name?
Trafton.
Oh, yeah.
Trafton. Trafton.
Okay. No, that's not the right answer, Trafton. This may be the first time you've ever called in with the wrong answer. I hope you don't feel bad, right?
No.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we appreciate the call, Trafton.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. He had an answer, but he didn't have two that were on our list here. So
we have another guy?
We have another caller standing by?
Correct.
All right. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors.
Good evening. How you doing tonight?
Great.
Fine, sir. What is your first name?
Richard.
And where are you calling from, Richard?
From Eddington.
Okay. You think you have the answer?
Well, I don't know. Muzzle loader and smoke pole.
What? Yeah, that's close, isn't it? I think you got it exactly correct.
I think that's the right answer. Congratulations.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He wins.
Hey, good. Lucky.
Good job. Can you think of one more?
Oh, I had it. There's something long something, isn't it? L-O-N-G, long.
No, there's long. The other one is front loader. Some folks call them a front loader.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, it doesn't matter. You got the right answer, Richard. Congratulations. You've won a subscription to the Northwood Sporting Journal worth about $32.
Beautiful. I get them every year for myself and my father-in-law anyway. But
oh, great. Glad to hear that.
That'll be great.
All right. Well, that's wonderful. You want to stay on the line so our Norm can get your address so we can get you signed up, all right?
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Anything else going on with you, Richard?
No, I didn't get a deer this year, but...
Oh, you didn't?
I've seen a lot of bald-headed ones, but I didn't have a permit.
I like that.
I
saw one spike on, and I couldn't get a good shot off at him, so I let him go and grow.
Yeah. Well, you had a lot of good...
Other than that, I had a great time.
Yeah, it's even if you don't get a deer, it's a good time in the woods, isn't it?
Exactly. I love it.
Yeah, me too. You know, I was thinking about that the other day. How old are you, Richard?
72.
72. Well, I'm 10 years your senior, and I was thinking, I remember when I was younger, a lot of the older men would say, no, I don't hunt anymore, I don't have the appetite for it, I just kind of lost interest in it. I don't know what's wrong with me. I guess I'm just young at heart or something, but I love it just as much now as I did 50 years ago.
I do, too.
Good for you. Yeah,
and that goes for coyote hunting and bird hunting and everything.
Yeah.
And my best friend Harold Pauly, he's 81, and he's the same way. He hunts moose and deer and everything.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I'm glad to hear that, and I'm just so happy and blessed that I'm at my age. I'm able to get in the woods and walk around. You know.
That's exactly right. We're very fortunate.
Although I've noticed my balance isn't quite what it was when I was 30.
No. I trip over a few things once in a while.
I took a real header this couple of weeks ago when I was hunting deer and put myself out of commission for a while. But I'm doing good. I've mended well, and I can't wait for next year, Richard. I'm sure you feel the same.
Yeah, and I hope you do too.
All right. Thank you. Stay on the line now, and Norm will get your address, and we'll look forward to sending you your subscription.
Good. Thank you very, very much, and have a Merry Christmas.
And same to you, Richard. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Yeah, that was Richard from Eddington, and he had the right answer. Some pet names for a black muzzleloader is for black powder gun is a muzzleloader, smoke pole, and a front loader. There may be others. I don't know what they are.
You couldn't Google that, I doubt, huh?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think you could find that on Google. So anyway, we're going to be hooking up with our guest, Ben Wilcox, in just a minute. I think Norm's endeavoring to establish a connection on the phone line. And Ben is a new writer for the Northwood Sporting Journal. He's from Vermont. And he tells a tale about hunting in Pennsylvania. He was bow hunting Bob, wounded a deer, finally tracked it down, and when he got to it, the next day it had been chewed on by some animal, by a predator.
Really?
Come to find out, the predators were two bears who were looking over his shoulder, and they didn't like sharing it with him.
No.
And he's going to tell that story as soon as we can get a hookup. Then after that, if we can, we're going to try to raise Hal Blood, who's the trophy hunter in the state of Maine, trophy buck hunter, and get him to tell you about why he likes the muzzleloader season. Do we have Ben on the line? Okay. You're unable to get to through. Oh, you got it. I know. You're busy in a one-arm paper hang.
I just dealt with the...
Okay. Yeah. I keep forgetting that you're only one person.
Yeah. Taking addresses and everything.
Yeah. We may have to bring in an assistant.
There's the phone now. Norm. That's probably him.
Norm's going to hook up with Ben. And next week is we'll have Kayla Leary on to tell you about the Operation Game Thief program and some rewards being offered.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I think Bob Lehman's got a big Christmas show on December. Do you know the date of that?
18th.
December 18th.
18th. Yep. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. We got a lot of stuff to give away this year. A
lot of goodies, right?
Oh, yeah. Some flies and some fishing lures and hats and whatnot. And we're going to give away one more Northwood Sporting Journal subscription.
Right.
And one of your books.
Yep.
Probably a couple of my books. So we got a lot of stuff to give away.
Good.
Yeah, we're going to have fun.
A lot of swag. That's good.
That's right.
All right. And you'll see you'll have mucho trivia questions that night.
Oh,
right?
Heavens, yes.
Yeah, good.
Mucho.
Okay, we have Ben standing by. Hi, good evening, Ben.
How are you?
Fine, sir. How are you doing tonight?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, nice to have you on our show tonight. We are, I don't know if you're probably not, you live in Vermont, right?
I do, yes.
Yeah, you're not familiar. We're a statewide Sunday night radio program, and we have a lot of listeners who like to call in, ask questions, and so forth. And my co-host tonight is Bob Lehman, and Bob is a fellow columnist, as you are, in the Sporting Journal, and he's a famous trout man.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, good.
All right. You wrote a column that I thought was fascinating for the upcoming issue of the journal, and it was a deal where you, I think you were bow hunting deer, right, in Pennsylvania?
Correct.
And you had an interesting encounter. Can you tell our listeners about it a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, it was November 1st, 2017, and my father and I used to hunt down in Pennsylvania for a couple days on public land before heading to Ohio, and we had found a spot up on top of a mountain that was clear cut long ago, and you had to park at a gate, and we found a spot about a mile back in that we liked. And first afternoon, we got there and scouted around. It was rainy and spitting snow and windy. It was pretty miserable. And I found out that my new Gore-Tex pants, they must have forgotten to put the Gore-Tex in them because they were soaked. And my father, he's smarter than me. He set up a ground blind down near this pond where there's some mature oaks. And I got back around my scouting loop, and I said, oh, boy, I am sick. I need to lay down. I laid down, took a nap, and is on the ground. I was startled by him trying to shoot a deer, and I think I might have scared it when I woke up. And I said, all right, it's time for me to go to my spot. And I had this place down at the end of a log landing where they just seemed to like to cross that I'd found the year before and actually missed a nice one. And so I headed up there, and I just had a couple sticks in front of me and sitting on the ground between a couple rocks. And suddenly this doe burst down through the woods with this giant buck right on her tail, followed by a little spike horn. And they take off down the woods right behind me. I was like, boy, I'd like them to come back. And sure enough, maybe 10 or 15 minutes later, I look down in the woods, and it's really thick in there and dark, and I see a deer, and then I see an antler. I was like, oh, my goodness, that's those two, that's that buck and that doe. And they worked their way up to me, and they got probably 10 yards from me. I never could quite get a shot. finally they made their way out into the landing and almost busted me when I made a little bit of noise. And then I tried to, then I go to shoot, and I had a crossbow because I was hunting on the ground, and the scope's all fogged up because it's wet and cold. And finally I got a shot, and he took off and about 20 yards, and I went and found the arrow, and I look up, and there's two bears coming down the blood trail towards
me. Wow.
And they get pretty close, and I holler at them, and they run off. And so my dad comes, I radio my dad, and he came up, and we tracked that deer maybe 75 yards, and he didn't go down. So we said, well, let's walk back to the truck, and we'll drop our bows and get some lights and lighten up our packs. And so we waited a couple hours and head back in the dark. Well, we didn't go too far, and we find the deer in some thick, nasty stuff up on this hill. And look at it, it's like, boy, that thing looks like it's been eaten. And we look, and missing half an ear, and the tail's gone, the hindquarters started to be chewed on. And like, boy, good thing we didn't wait to track this till the morning. And so I reached down, I put my hand on it, and all of a sudden, as soon as I touch it, you hear a growl. And so I yell. We start yelling, and the more we yell, the more it growls. Kind of scared off bears by yelling at them or whatever. And so we're screaming, and the bear's growling. Well, we don't know it's a bear at this point. Growling
so
really loud.
It's dark. It's in the dark.
Oh, yeah. It's dark, and it's thick, kind of mountain laurel, old clear-cut stuff.
So you can't see the bears, and you don't know how far away they are?
No, but yep. We can tell it's close. But suddenly my father, he shines a light up in the tree right next to us, like five paces, and he sees two bears up in the tree. We see them up there, and we're like, oh, great. There was like 120-pound cubs, two-year-old cubs, and we're like, great, that's the mother right here. So we're like, well, we better drag this out of here. So we drag it, 75 or 100 yards through the thick, nasty stuff, just get away from them. We can't get our lights to work, and it's just a mess. And so we find a little clearing in the woods, and like, all right, we'll gut this deer out, and the bears will come eat the guts, and we'll be all good. So we're taking some pictures of it, and we get it all gutted out, and things are all good, and we're taking one of the last pictures. And all of a sudden, I hear him behind me. I almost included it in the column, but it was a little bit blurry because I'm whipping my head around so fast. But I'm holding the deer, and you can see me looking back behind me. The bears are right there.
You can hear him growling?
Yeah, we can hear him again.
Yeah, so they chased after you, right?
Yeah, they followed us. Yeah. So we dragged that thing out to this log landing, and we're like, all right, they've got the gut pile. We're good. And so my dad, we get back to the log landing. It's a mile back to the truck. My dad's like, you could drive the truck around the gate. You're not supposed to, but he's like, you know what? I'm driving that truck around the gate. And somebody has a problem, we'll explain to them what's going on.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll stay here with the deer. And I've got no weapons. I've got a flashlight and a 3-inch buck knife. And, so I'm hanging out with the deer for a while, and I'd shine the light up on my drag mark, you know, pretty frequently. And then nothing was happening, and I kind of forgot about it. So I'm sitting there in the dark, and it'd probably been 10 or 15 minutes since I'd shined the light up on the drag mark. It had been a while since my dad left. And yeah, we'll see what's going on there. I turn the light on, and I see bears. And not one, not two, not three, but four of them.
Four bears?
They're standing shoulder to shoulder.
Wow.
And I see them, and I instantly reacted to, I'd scare him off, so I run at him screaming. And like I said, I've done that before and it's worked, but it did not work.
It did not work.
No.
Oh, boy.
So I had paced it off the next day. That when I first saw him, there were 19 paces, and I ran towards him. And so I'm standing there, I'm probably 12 paces from him. And they're looking at me like, give us our deer back.
Yeah.
They're kind of slinking around. I'm expecting them to move. They're not moving. And I'm not moving. And I'm like, where is that truck? It's been a while. He should be here. Where is that truck?
Did you have any?
I don't know what I'm doing next.
Did you have any thoughts of giving up the deer to the bear?
I did not. No, that hadn't gone through my mind.
No, good for you.
Well, you had a gun with you, didn't you, Hal?
No, he had no gun.
Oh, he had no gun.
Just had a flashlight.
I had nothing.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
I had nothing.
So how long did that standoff last?
It was not too long after. I was just shining the light on the bears, hoping to blind them when I heard the truck.
Yeah.
It was short. I mean, it was good timing.
Yeah.
And I just stood there with the lights on him, and finally he rolled down in there and they filtered off back into the woods. And we got out of there. But wow. Yeah, no, I never thought to leave the bear, and a ton of people have told me I would have run away. I don't know what my next move was.
But well, you worked hard for that deer, and you didn't want to give it up. I don't blame you.
Exactly. Yeah. It was a beauty. So now I got a nice mount with half an ear on it that I can look at.
Yeah. And a great story to tell your grandchildren years from now. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. It was almost as scary as when I got surrounded by wild dogs in Ohio last year, bow hunting in the dark.
Well, that's a story for another time.
Another story.
Yeah, Ben, we're up against the clock a little bit, but we appreciate you taking the time to share with us your exciting story. And you write a column for the Journal, and you're where do you live in Vermont? I should know this, but I've got 50 columnists, and I get sometimes confused. But where?
I live in northern Vermont, in Essex.
Okay, is that up near the Kingdom?
Like 30 minutes. I'm like 30 minutes from Burlington. I'm on the west side of the state.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we appreciate your story, and we appreciate the work you're doing for the Sporting Journal, and we hope to talk to you again soon.
No problem. Thank you. Have a good evening.
All right, Ben. Thank you. So one other thing. If you want to listen to this program in a week or so, you can listen to WVOM podcasts, and you can hear the show. Okay?
Good. Yeah, when I used to live in Maine, I used to check the show out.
Oh, okay. Glad to hear that. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, have a good holiday, Ben. Thank you.
You too.
Yep. Bye-bye. All right. That was Ben Wilcox telling his exciting story about his bear encounter. I think we need to take a money break here, don't we, Norm?
We sure do. Hang on. I'll put this on.
And you're going to try to get in touch with Hal Blood, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll be right back. You stay with us on Maine Outdoors. Okay. We're back with Maine Outdoors, and we managed to get our connection. We'll be talking to Hal Blood. And are you there, Hal?
I'm right here.
Thank you, sir. Good to have you aboard. And I think most people who hunt deer have heard of Hal Blood, the trophy hunter. But for those who haven't, you write a column for the Sporting Journal, and you kill big bucks most years. You get your buck this year?
No, I haven't shot one yet. I've had kind of a little difficult year. I guided the first 2 weeks again, and I got my legs burned out a little bit. And I got the stomach flu just as the snow came.
Oh, wow.
And I've been a little rough here, but I've had a couple of close encounters. I should have had one the first day we had snow. I had a good shot at a great big one, and I was up in the mountains there in the snow, and just as I was going to pull the trigger, my feet went out from under me, and the bead came off of him, and I didn't get the shot.
Yeah. It's tough to get old, isn't it?
It was more about being sick, really. I had a bad stomach flu, and I was weak, and I was going to go, determined to go anyway.
And you shouldn't have been out there, right?
Well, I don't know.
Hal, I know you're going to get him before the season's over. You got a couple of weeks here, black powder season. One of the things I thought would be interesting, you wrote a column for the Sporting Journal, I think it'd be the next issue, and I thought it was good about it telling folks why muzzleloader season can be so attractive. I took up muzzleloader way back because it was the end of the deer season. I didn't have a deer, and I knew I had an option, so I bought a muzzleloader, and I've hunted with them a number of years, and I've always enjoyed it so much. But tell the folks why you like the muzzleloader season a lot, don't you?
Yeah, I like it up north here because there's not very many hunters, you know, that do it. And so it's, you got more options of place to go because I don't hunt anywhere near any hunters. So sometimes during the season when there's snow, it's I'm limited to where I go because I just don't want to be around people. But So there's more options in muzzleloader season for me. And the bucks are starting to slow down again. That's one of the good things about it. This year it won't be quite as much because the season started early this year, the way the calendar fell. So the rut's still on and they're still traveling a lot. But typically the big old boys are slowing down and starting to put their feed bag back on, and they're a lot easier to catch up to them, you know.
Oh yeah, and so you think the fact that they're tired a little bit from the rut, that helps too, you think?
Yeah, they're tired, you know, especially them big ones that ram so much. They're tired. They've lost weight, and they don't. They make a lot of mistakes because they're tired. You know, they'll lay in places they normally wouldn't. You know, sometimes they lay in dumb places.
Yeah.
And sometimes they don't watch their back track as much. They'll feed around, and then they'll just be watching where they just fed, but it might not be where they just came from, you know?
Yeah. And you have... Do you have a better chance of snow, too, even if you're down here where I am in the lowlands? You get a better chance to maybe do some tracking. Do you have pretty good snow cover where you are now?
Yeah, we've had good snow since Monday of the third week. So 2 weeks straight ahead, we've had really nice snow conditions. It warmed up a little bit today, didn't settle it down a little bit, but we're supposed to get a little snow tonight, I guess, and then it's calling for some rain on Wednesday, I think. It's going to be a funny week because I think we're going to end up with some kind of crust probably by the end of the week. But
yeah,
it's the way it goes. Yeah.
But, what kind of a season did you have for your sports this fall? Did you have an average season, better than average, or what?
No, it was our best season we had, really. Even early when it was warm, we had lots of sightings. The first week we had, I think we had 21 hunters in camp. That includes guided and unguided.
Yeah.
They saw around 105 does and 25 bucks that first week in the warm weather.
Yeah. I thought...
And they...
So,
we had a bunch of misses and two wounded ones, and that's kind of crappy. But
yeah. So would you agree the does are coming back even in the big woods?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never seen so many does as I've seen this year, and I've heard other folks say the same thing.
Yeah, it's been good up here, and it's partially because we've had not all good winters, but we haven't had any bad ones since back in 2008 and 2009.
Yeah.
But we've had a couple of them long winters, you know, like 3 or 4 years ago. We had 2 years in a row. We started getting piled up with snow in November and stayed till May. But I think the biggest part of it really here is we've virtually about eliminated the coyotes. So it's almost a non-issue with the deer anymore in the winter over here.
Yeah, it's helped a lot. I know in Aroostook County, I think the same thing applies from what I've heard. Yep.
Yeah, we've been running them with hounds for five years with one group of guys that comes now, and we've killed, I guess it was 6 years, 5.5 years. We killed 200 coyotes right around here, right around town, within 20 miles of town.
Oh, that's great. Hey, we have a caller who may have a question for you, Hal. Let's take the call. Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors with Hal Blood. Go ahead.
Hi, yeah, Hal, I got a question for you. So, obviously, not during the muzzleloader season, but during the regular firearm season, what is your weapon of choice as far as like caliber and, you know, scoped or unscoped or both or whatever? Just curious.
Yeah, well, I've always hunted with a Remington 7600 carbine and 30-06, and that's the caliber that it came in back in the late 80s when they come out with the carbine 7600 in 1988. So that's what they had, one caliber. You know, they've made a few different ones since, but but I've always used that with a peep sight on it, not a scope. I hunted earlier when I was a younger, a teenager and stuff, up until his early 20s. I did use a scope, but I found it was kind of a detriment here in the big woods, trying to hunt in the snow and close shots, a lot of running shots. So, yeah.
So you don't use a scope at all?
No.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, that answer your question, caller?
It does, and just one more quick. So yep. The 7600, is that a pump?
Yeah, that's the pump.
Yeah.
Yeah, the all first right. pump, well, Remington, well, not the first one, but there's a 760, and then the 7600, 760 come out in 1952, and then when they came out, they changed the bolt in it in 1980. And they made rifles until 88, and then they started making the carbines in 88. But it's the same, pretty much the same, except for the bolt in it.
Yeah.
And the earlier ones had a little different way the tube, the action tube was. But
Hal, can you hang on for a second? We have to take a quick commercial break.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back. I have another question. Go ahead. Thank you. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, we got some big news here from General Appliance in Brewer, and Alan and the crew at General Appliance are retiring on February 28th, and that's after 30 years of riding the wave, as they say. We want to take this opportunity to thank all of our loyal customers through the years. It's been a great run. We still have plenty of merchandise, however, at great prices, and welcome you to stop by or give us a call. We are presently putting together a list of sources for people to get off-grid supplies, service, and parts, and we'll let you know about that soon.
All right.
All righty.
Al Elkins is hanging it up after all these years, and yes. What great service. We're going to try to get him on the phone maybe next week to talk a little bit
good
about
idea.
It.
All right. Good idea.
Hal, I wanted to ask you before we run out of time here, you mentioned your preference for a 30-06. What about a muzzleloader? What kind of a black powder gun do you use?
Well, I've tried a bunch of them over the years, but now I have the Woodman Arms made right in New Hampshire by Mark Woodman.
Okay, is that a center fire? How does that, is that a with a primer center fire gun?
Yeah, it's a 209 primer, but it's a real unique muzzleloader because he actually designed it to balance and feel like the 7600 pump.
Oh, no kidding.
It has the same feel. It's light. It weighs 5.5 pounds.
Wow.
It's got a 3.5 pound trigger pull. It's all stainless and aluminum. It's stainless with it's like Cerakote, but it looks like it's blued, but it isn't. It's a stainless barrel. All the parts are aluminum and stainless. Nothing to rust. You use a Blackhorn powder, Blackhorn 209 powder. You don't have to clean it. Seems foreign to people that shoot muzzleloaders because every 5 or 6 shots you'd have to swab it out, or you can run another one. You can shoot this one 200 times and the bullet will go right back in just like the other ones.
Is that right? Wow. So you use the Sabot slugs, right?
Yeah. I just use the bullets that he sells there. You can use, I actually have I've tried a 50 and they're great. I tested a 50 and then he said the 45 is a little more accurate, I guess, out to long range, but in the woods it don't matter.
Yeah.
I'm using a 45 now, and it's a Sabot bullet, and 200 and I'm shooting a 225 grain bullet that kind of a custom made bullet that he sells.
Yeah, and you use the black powder capsules. You had a different name for it, but
it's a granular. It's called Blackhorn 209. It's a totally different type of powder. It's not really black powder. It's a different formula, but it's actually feels a little bit oily, believe it or not.
Wow.
It doesn't corrode. It keeps it. That's what keeps it lubed so you can put your bullets in there, but it's a fabulous gun. He makes his own scope mounts for it. I have a peep sight on that.
Yeah.
I actually took it to, I've shot couple of bucks with that, but I took it to
Colorado elk hunting a couple of years, and I shot an elk with it 130 yards with a peep sight.
Wow. And, what's the name of that? What's the name of that manufacturer one more time?
It's Woodman, like the name Woodman.
Yep.
Wood.
Woodman.
And Woodman Arms.
Woodman Arms. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Great, great.
Yeah.
But it's an internal, it's the only muzzle loader that doesn't have a hammer or anything like that. It's even got the same safety as a...
We're out of time, Hal. I appreciate you taking the time to be with us, and good luck to you in the Black Powder Woods.
All right. Thank you, too.
All right. Thank you, sir. Take care, Hal. Yep.
Bye-bye.
Our guest next week is going to be Warden Cale O'Leary, and we'll see you all next week right here on
Maine Outdoors.